Welcome to Living in the Overflow. Today, I'm your host, Jameer Waters. Thank you for joining us for another amazing episode of Living in the Overflow. This is one of our sermons from On the Road at Spirit of Faith Church in Canova, West Virginia, which we will be back at April 14th, 15th, 16th, and 17th at 6 p.m. and Monday through Wednesday at 7 p.m. for revival. Revival has broken out in Canova and Spring Valley, and I really believe you want to capitalize on this. If you're a church in the local area of Huntington, West Virginia, Canova, or the surrounding areas, we'd love to bring our message of hope and encouragement right to your doorstep. And living in the overflow, our message today, when faith dies. Cue intro.
What God's going to appoint Jameer, you or something else. Everybody loves Jameer. Isn't he amazing? I tell you, I'm not trying to put him on the spot, but you are amazing. He's an incredible minister, too, and on top of everything else, he can preach.
You know, you think you're an evangelist, but you're called to be a prophet, like me. God put his hand on you as a baby. He marked you. That's why your life had this very unusual path, because you separate, you belong, you're a personal property of the Almighty God. Do you understand?
I'm calling this young man to raise a generation in purity.
Yes. What's the name of your podcast? Living in the Overflow. Well, we'll check it out sometime, all right? All right.
Today, I speak to dead things. Spiritually dead things that have been dead for a while or even forever. Relationships that have been hurting or even dead. Hope for your healing has disappeared. Hope for your family to know Jesus. Hope for your churches and churches all over the world to know him deeper. And even some of you who have put on your Sunday best smile and put on a smile to walk through your life when demonic attacks are tearing your life apart. Your mind is lost and confused. To those with no faith, I speak to what was dead. What is dead? What once was alive, but is about to be resurrected. If you would travel with me to the first scripture, John 11:32, when Mary arrived and saw that Jesus, when Mary arrived and she saw Jesus, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had only been here sooner, then my brother wouldn't be dead." Some of you wonder why he wasn't there when so-and-so happened. Wonder why he wasn't there sooner. Your life has been this big old why. God, why weren't you there before I took the first pill? Why weren't you there before my chemo? Why weren't you there before my friend went through chemo? Why weren't you there before pornography? Why weren't you there before the church lost 20 members, before the abuse, the bad relationship, when suicidal thoughts creeped in? Mary cried, and in my mind I see her sobbing bitterly and begging Jesus. But Jesus, verse 33, with deep anger said, "Where did you put him?" In the face of reasoning and questioning, Jesus no longer complies, and he asks, "Where did you put your problem?" And many of us have this really bad habit of putting our problem up when Jesus shows up. The marriage is struggling, or the family is struggling. You go to the bar, or weed, or vaping, or gambling, or sex, and justify what you should be crucifying, and try to have worldly things fill God-sized holes, sins and lies, and reaping the side effects of it. And you do this. You take it to the grave instead of the altar. Go to the Bible again. Now flipping to another story, we go to Lazarus. We'll go back to him. Now go to John chapter 5, where you will see the pool of Bethesda. just summarizing here and selecting a few verses. Jesus sees a man at the pool, no ordinary pool. This is believed to be a healing pool. Sometimes the water bubbles and the first few in are healed. And there's a man lying there who has been lying there for decades, paralyzed, never able to get in the water at the right time. Jesus asks him this question, a kind of rude question, in my opinion. He says, "Do you want to be made whole?" And I ask you the same. Some of you, just like this man in verse 7, say, "I have no one. This church didn't work, and this pill didn't work, and this crystal didn't work, or this evil eye didn't work, or this prayer that the pastor told me to pray and have God build a treehouse in my heart didn't work." You go to God with the problem when he already has the solution. Now, running back to Lazarus, Jesus, oh, this is so good. Jesus rolls the stone aside and he says, he touches, no wait, he doesn't touch Lazarus's body. He speaks to it. God does not touch Lazarus's body. He speaks to it. And some of us smell like death because we touch what God speaks to. You try to work it out and grind it, and your whole life is this grind, and I gotta solve this, and I gotta medicate this, and I gotta do whatever, and I gotta just try. I'll just get in this new relationship. I'll just post about it. I'll just make a TikTok to get likes and feel loved. And I might just submit to you that this is the church and this is Christians nowadays holding on to what is dead and holding it like a puppet in the air, saying everything is fine when nothing is fine. Jesus says to the lame man, "Pick up your mat and walk." He tells him to do what is impossible of his nature. He looks at the man and tells him to pick up his mat and walk. So, how do you walk in faith? How do you live again? How does your church become revived? You speak to it. You stop trying to maneuver your way and make this program and make this service and say this prayer and say that prayer and go to this denomination or that denomination, and you speak to your problem. Some of you haven't spoken to your problem in a long time. And I just believe prophetically this is a moment where churches need to slow down, much less that I haven't slowed down. I spoke this message very fast. And I would just ask you, all over the world, would you speak to your problem? Anger, you will no longer have control of me. Frustration, you will no longer have control of me. Anxiety, you will no longer hold me, but I will stand in peace. Not because I'm standing on the ground. The man at the pool of Bethesda didn't walk on the ground. He walked on a word. So I speak to you wherever you are right now, to the saints, to the sick, to those with no faith, to those who don't trust in Jesus, to the suicidal, to the plastic believer, to the depressed, to the people born that way. You don't have to be born again that way. So just as the man stood nervously for the first time with no faith in the tank, will you step and get out of that grave? Lord, I just pray over these people listening to this message, as churches and pastors who are eager for revival, eager for their church to be set on fire, eager to come back to faith. And God, I just ask that you would give them the courage and the faith to step in adversity, step in pain, step through trauma, and step over the enemy and run into the call and purpose God has for their life. So say this with me, Holy Spirit, today I step. Today I speak to. I've been trying to do this on my own, but God, I don't want to do this on my own. Holy Spirit, I don't just need you. God, I don't just need you. I want you. And I speak to my life to submit to your plan. And I walk in faith, even when I don't see it. Amen. This message edified, encouraged you, or motivated you to reach out to our ministry for booking, and you would like to know more about our ministry from the words I've spoken today, I would preach longer at your church. But you can reach us at overflowradio.org/booking, where we can come speak at your school, your youth conference, your seminar, your Sunday morning message, your conference, or even your revival service. I hope to see you very soon. Again, my name is Jameer Waters, and this was Living in the Overflow, and this was one of our messages. Have a blessed day.